Well, good morning, everybody. And welcome to a special Scottish Songs of Praise. You're welcome for a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service in the small hall. I commend to you all the intimations which you have before you and highlight the Kirk session meets on Tuesday at 7. The Guild has Dr. Morag Tau on Dem Bones. The mind boggles what she's going to do, but a doctor speaking about bones, I think. Thursday, 10:30, congregation prayer time. Wednesday at 11, there was the midweek worship. And on Friday, the Christian education in Audrey Scott's house. I commend to you, as usual, the food bank and the box for Malawi. So the reason for the Scottish Songs of Praise is that yesterday was the 25th of January, Robert Burns' birthday. If Robert Burns was alive today, he'd be 261. So I kind of have to say this. Some hae hymn books, but canna sing, and some would sing, but hae nae hymn books. But we hae hymn books, and we can sing, say, let the Lord be thankit. Let us worship him and sing the first hymn, 68 in the red book, Thou Art Before Me. This is actually Psalm 139. It was written by Ian Pitt Watson, who was my professor of practical theology up in Aberdeen University. And the tune is Highland Cathedral. All the music that David plays today will be of a Scottish flavour. That includes the offering and as you go out as well. So number 68. God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the one true living God. You have control over life and death. You are the Father of all creation. You are the Son who burst the grave, the conqueror of sin and death. And you are the Holy Spirit who comes sweeping through us, breathing new life into dead and dying souls. You control the procession of the years, the cycle of the seasons, the destiny of individuals and nations. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and worship you this morning for choosing to be our God and for choosing to make us your people. Heavenly Father, we confess that we're not all that you would want us to be. You have chosen to give us life, but often we turn away from people and situations, voting no to the life that you offer us. You seek always to bless us, but we look at you sometimes in doubt and in skepticism. You offer us your infinite love and power, your wisdom and peace, but we just stand still, hesitating, questioning, doubting. Forgive us, Lord, for being so quick to sin and so slow to trust you and to follow you. Almighty God, we thank you for the assurance that our sins are forgiven and for your willingness to accept us even as we are. O holy Lord God, come and sweep us off our feet. Hug us close to your breast. Melt our frozen hearts and lead us in true worship. Draw us with the cords of love into fellowship with you and with one another. And may our hearts and souls be inflamed and fired up for your service in the days ahead. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, we're all coughing. You haven't been to China, I hope. So, I was going to say, how are you? But I kind of know, you're all coughing. So, yesterday was Robert Burns' birthday. Do you know who Robert Burns was? He wrote poetry, and he wrote songs. And he's probably Scotland's most famous writer. All around the world, you get Burns suppers. Up hands if you went to a Burns supper this week. That's why I was asking. I knew some of you had been. This is Ayrshire, and he was born in Ayrshire. He was born in 1759. It's hard for you to think about that. But if he was alive today, he'd be 261. He only lived for 37 years. It wasn't long. But in short 37 years, he became very famous. So because it's Burns, I thought we'd have a Scottish flavour to the whole service. If you ever go to a Burns supper and things, you need to go dressed appropriately. So here's the Scottish flag, right? What about this natty wee thing? It's a Scottish flag as a waistcoat. I've even got a minister's shirt in that colour of blue with my white collar. It's a shame I don't like haggis. One of the things that Burns wrote, it's quite famous, is, "Would that God the gift would give us to see ourselves as others see us. Wouldn't it be great if God could give us the help to see ourselves like other people see us?" You maybe wonder from time to time, how do other people see us? You look in the mirror and see yourself and you get a shock sometimes. But you sometimes wonder, what do other people think about me? Sometimes other people tell you what they think about you, for good or bad. Other people like to know what you think about them. They like to get a wee compliment now and then, tell them something nice about them. Sometimes they need to get a wee bit of criticism. This idea, how do other people see us, is quite a fascinating thought. How, you see, when you go travelling the world, the fun of it is to see how other people are. But part of the fun of travelling abroad is coming back home and seeing back home in a new light. It's amazing how when you go abroad and come back, you see Scotland and Saltcoats, yourself, the people you know, in a different way. And it can work for good or bad. How does the world see Scotland and Scottish people? Do they think that we all live in castles and we all wear kilts and we eat porridge and we're addicted to shortbread and we like Harry Lauder music? They maybe do. I remember going to Brazil. And I asked the folk in Brazil, what do you know about Scotland? And everywhere I went and asked the same question, I got the same answer. In reverse order, well, you guess, what do you think Brazilian people thought about Scotland? Just give me a word that comes to mind about Scotland. And what did they say? No, but you're close. The third common answer was castles. Scotland equals castles. And they thought, we all live in a castle. So, well, we don't all live in a castle. The second one was kilts. I'll check my score there. No, that was the first one. That was the first one. So the second one, it was castles, whiskey, and kilts. If you think of that picture, we've all got a kilt drinking whiskey living in our castle. Well, if I reverse that, if I say Brazil, what do you want to say? What do you know about Brazil? I thought you said nuts. Right. Brazil nuts, coffee, football, samba dancing. Right, but you see what I mean? All the Brazilians don't drink coffee. All the Brazilians are not good at football. And they're not all nuts. We all have funny pictures about the other lot. And it's worth checking out sometimes our funny pictures. You know how you look in the mirror or you're going down the street with your new outfit and you think you're the cat's pajamas and you're so cool and you're so smooth and somebody across the road looks at you and thinks, what an idiot. Or vice versa. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, I'm ashamed of me. I am an idiot. I put my foot in it there. Why am I so daft? And then someone will say, no, I love you. I think you're cute. And then you're not so bad after that. There's even for the ugliest, stupidest person, there is somebody that loves them, even if it's the dog. And what about with God? Jesus sees us and knows us inside out. You can put on a face to meet the faces that you meet, and you can fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool God for a minute. He knows us inside out. And then he still says, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. So even if nobody else loves me, he loves me. And if he loves me, that counts for more than some of the other opinions that are out there. There are lots of verses in the Bible, that's just one. But think about that, and if you need it, stick it on the mirror somewhere. So when you look at yourself, you see yourself with Jesus' eyes. I am precious in his eyes and honored, and he loves me. Walk down the street and hum to yourself or sing to yourself, Jesus loves me. I'm not caring if nobody else does. Jesus loves me. And it makes you walk 10 feet tall. Right, let's sing a song. This is another Scottish song. It goes to the Sky Boat Song. So, Spirit of God. So let's continue with our Scottish songs of praise. If you were thinking of what's the most famous Scottish hymn that was also top of the pops, the first thing probably come to mind is Amazing Grace. Strictly speaking, it isn't a Scottish hymn. It was written by an Englishman, John Newton. But it was made famous with the bagpipes from Scotland and became number one, top of the pops, for many weeks. And it goes best when it's played with bagpipes and drums, does it not? It's sung so often in Scottish churches, Scottish crematoria. And the tune was composed by a Scotsman. He was the organist in Glasgow Cathedral. David Pearson was telling me this week. On his gravestone, John Newton wrote these words. He chose the words himself for his own gravestone. John Newton, Clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long laboured to destroy. Captain John Newton was a very rough, uncouth sea captain, slave trader, people trafficker. He took slaves from Africa to America. But in a storm at sea once, he was in fear of his life, and he committed his life to God. Get me out of here, save me, and I'll change. And he did survive the storm, and true to his word, he did change. He became a Christian. He became a minister. He became a hymn writer. It was when he was 82 and about 82, he wrote this hymn. When it was suggested to him that maybe around the age of 82 he should think of retiring as a minister because of his age, his ill health, and his failing memory, he said, "My memory's nearly gone, but there are two things that I always remember. One, I am a great sinner. Two, Christ is a great Saviour." His whole life was about that transformation from people trafficker to a writer of hymns. St. Paul writes, "We are saved by grace through faith. It is God's gift." He wrote in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for all your needs." So let's celebrate God's grace, not only to John Newton, but to each of us. Number 31 in Mission Praise.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That last verse reminds us that for all eternity there will be a Scottish songs of praise in heaven. Our next hymn is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. It goes to a Scottish tune called St. Margaret. St. Margaret was the maid of Norway, a Norwegian, who sailed across to these parts to become Queen of Scotland. A very well-loved Queen of Scotland, a very devout woman, and at the end of her life, she was called St. Margaret. She not only transformed the church in Scotland, reformed it, she gave birth to a boy, David, and he became King of Scotland, and he too was a Christian king. Margaret's influence lasted beyond her own lifetime, and she was a very good influence on this country. The words of this hymn are written by the Reverend George Matheson, a Scottish minister, and the backstory is very moving. This is perhaps the most moving story of all the hymns I've ever researched into. When George was a young teenager, he was a very brilliant scholar, and he was at Glasgow University, but he had problems with his eyes, and the optician said, you're going to go blind reasonably soon, totally blind for the rest of your life. And he felt the honourable thing to do was to tell his girlfriend at the time, and he feared that she might reject him if he's going to go blind. So he summoned up the courage and he said to her, the optician says I'll be going blind. You have to know that before you marry me. And her immediate reaction was, well, I'm off. I'm not wanting to be married to an invalid the rest of my life. And she dumped him there and then. He carried on with his studies at Glasgow University, and in spite of being blind, he got the highest grades. He was a very bright scholar. He was helped in that with his sister. In order to help him, she learned Greek and learned Hebrew to help him with his studies. He became a very famous minister in Scotland. And then when he was about 40, his sister got married. On the day of the wedding, he was reflecting that when my sister gets married today, she'll be moving off with her husband. She won't be there to support me. And he remembered about his girlfriend who had dumped him. And in a few minutes, just before the wedding, he wrote these words about the love that will not let us go. Jesus says, fear not. I am with you always, even to the close of the age. I will never fail you or forsake you. Let's sing hymn 677 in our red books. My heart restores its borrowed grace. not ask to fly from thee. I'll lay in dust my feet, and from my blossom frame, my life shall rest in. Our next hymn was also written by George Matheson. This next hymn is full of paradoxes. Well, it's called Make Me a Captive, Lord, and Then I Shall Be Free. In the hymn, it says that the only way to be free is to be captive to Jesus. The only way to conquer is to give up our sword. The only way to be strong is to recognize our weakness. The only way to become a ruler is to give up your crown. The only way to stand tall is to lean on Jesus. George Matheson's own life was full of paradoxes. He was a brilliant student at Glasgow University, while all the time living in a world of darkness and blindness. He became a minister at a beautiful summer resort, which he could never see. But hundreds of people went on holidays, not just for the resort, but to see him and to hear him. He preached with an open Bible. Well, he couldn't read it. He didn't need to read because he could memorize all the Bible passages and all he wanted to say from his notes as a minister. In fact, as he preached, he would look directly at the congregation, and many of them had no idea that he was blind. The idea for this hymn came from Paul's epistles. While chained to his Roman guards, Paul would write a lot about freedom. I presume all prisoners think a lot about freedom. But he also talked about when we serve Jesus, we are his slaves, his servants, prisoners of Christ. And he combined the two thoughts in many passages about real freedom is in Christ, tied to him. It's a paradox. If a kite wants to fly and it's tied with a string to someone on the ground and it feels like I could be freer if I wasn't tied, if it's not tied, it soon falls flat to the ground. In life, we reach the highest heights being tied to Jesus, not in just being free to do as we please. Discipline is part of achievement. Paul writes, to keep me from being puffed up with pride because of the many wonderful things I saw, I was given a painful physical ailment, which acts as Satan's messenger to beat me and keep me from being proud. 3 times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away, but his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is strongest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Galatians 5. Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people. And do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Ephesians 3. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, I was made a servant of the gospel by God's special gift. It is a paradox. It seems opposite, but it's true. We find our greatest liberation and freedom and joy in being tied down to Jesus. Let's sing hymn 445. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Our next hymn is, O for a Closer Walk with God. Alternative tunes that we won't be playing today for it are called Dundee and Caithness. This hymn was written by William Cowper. It's spelt C-O-W-P-E-R, Cowper, but it's pronounced Cooper. William Cowper's claim to fame is that he's Irene Crozier's great, 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 seven times great grandfather. He lived in 1731 to 1800, exactly contemporary with Robert Burns. 1731 to 1800, Burns was 1759 to 1796. William Cowper was a poet and a hymn writer, after whom Irene Crozier's brother William is named. William Cowper liked to walk. It was good therapy for him. He had tried to commit suicide three times. He'd been put in hospital twice for insanity, it was the technical term then, for mental ill health, we might call it today. While in hospital, William Cowper became a Christian. When he came home from hospital, he became a very good friend of a certain Captain John Newton, the author of our previous hymn, Amazing Grace. It's a small world. John Newton also liked to walk, so you can just picture the two of these guys, giants of hymn writing, poets, writers, walking together on the beach, talking about this and that, inspiring each other. In fact, it was John Newton who inspired William Cowper to start writing hymns. And they used to have a friendly rivalry with each other, a wee competition in hymn writing. Cowper would walk faster than Newton, naturally. But even Cowper could go very slow and stroll sometimes, especially when they met some poor people or they met some children. They were a compassionate pair. Sometimes William Cowper and John Newton would read the Bible together, sitting in Newton's garden and discussing what they'd read. One morning they were reading, it was Cowper himself who read aloud, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God. That's all we know about Enoch, one line in the Bible. What a wonderful epitaph. That's what I want in my gravestone, walked with God. Cowper thought there was nothing better than a good therapeutic walk, especially with his best friend, John Newton. Well, the only thing better than that was to walk with God. God walked with the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He walked with them across the Red Sea. He walked with them for 40 years in the wilderness. And he walked with them across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And he walks with us. That's the story of everybody's life. Out of the womb, into the planet Earth. Out of Earth, into the eternal glory. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for he is with us. Peter was able to walk on water and do the impossible, walking with Jesus. And we look forward at the end of our pilgrimage on earth, walking into the holy city, to paradise. The word paradise comes from Persia. It means the walled garden of the king. There was no greater honor than that the king of Persia would invite you into his walled garden for a private walk together. We will have that with Jesus one day. So let's sing together hymn 663. Oh, for a closer walk with God. And now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. We're very proud to be Scottish, but we're also proud to be citizens of your world and citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we give to you not our burdensome taxes, but our joyful contributions, our investment in your service. Work in us and work through us. For your glory we pray. Amen. Now let's sing together from your sheets, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" This is written by John Bell and Graham Moll. When I was a student at Glasgow University, John Bell was also a student and he was the student president. So let's sing, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of being born and living in Scotland and in Britain. We thank you for the freedom to worship, the freedom to speak openly. We thank you for our Scottish education, for our health service, for our welfare state provision. We thank you for our legal system, our police protection, our moderate politics, our moderate climate. We pray today for our nation. We think that this Friday coming is Brexit Day, the long-awaited, much-forecasted Brexit Day. And we pray for our nation as we step into a new chapter in our life story. Bless our leaders. Give them wisdom and vision and moral courage. Bless the leaders in industry and politics and education and charities. Bless those in the caring professions. Bless those in particular needs this week. Help our country with its social problems, with alcoholism and drugs, knife crime, antisocial behaviour, bad diet, heart disease, sectarianism, materialism, secularism. We pray for all sections of our economy, the fishing industry, agriculture, tourism, the service industry, manufacture, the charitable section. We pray for your church in Scotland too. We pray for particular people and their particular needs. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for Gloria Smith, Molly Aitchison, Evelyn Porter, Beth McCracken. We pray for Irene Crozier, Betty McFall, Elaine Brown, Peggy Parsons. We pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are bereaved. We think especially of the family and friends of Karen Stocker, the family and friends of the Reverend Stuart Price, and now the family and friends of Ruth Carson. We also pray for Heather and her family mourning the loss of her father-in-law. We pray for the wider world today. We pray for the people in Zimbabwe, where over half the population are going hungry. We pray for the people in Australia facing bushfires and now flooding. We pray for the people in China with an outbreak of a new virus. 50 million people are living under quarantine restrictions. Wuhan, city of 11 million people, twice the population of Scotland, has been shut down. We think of another plague of locusts spreading through India, Pakistan, Yemen, and now East Africa. Swarms of locusts that can be 25 miles by 35 miles long. 200 million locusts in each swarm. We pray for the people in Turkey with an earthquake on Friday, with temperatures down to minus 10 degrees. We pray for Iraq, where people are protesting against America and Iran fighting their battles on their soil. And 500 Iraqi protesters have been killed since October. And we think of this as the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, where 1 million people were killed in just one concentration camp, and there were 300 concentration camps. So we pray for our country. We pray for your church. As a presbytery, we pray for the readers in the presbytery. But we pray for all the leaders, the politicians, and for all the peoples everywhere. Amen. Our closing hymn is obviously to the tune Auld Lang Syne. We worship God in harmony. This was a Scottish hymn written in Kilmarnock. It's on your sheets. And now a Celtic blessing. May the road rise before you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. And may the rains fall gently on your fields. And may God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit hold you in the hollow of his hand until we meet again.